Yeah, that was really awesome. Thanks, Karin, for sharing that. Got halfway all through the show, I got it seems like a bit of a nervous SMS to pray. And immediately when I started to pray just for the situation, I just saw a white flag. And so I knew God's peace would come in this situation. I didn't know how quickly. Sometimes we see a white flag and it might take 10 years for the peace to return. But luckily for us in this case, it would have been then obviously much shorter afterwards. And I'm thankful with you guys. But we need to be bold and we need to stand up, walk by the conviction of the Lord in line with the Word of God, and love on people and love on His children. So yeah, that's really an awesome testimony. Guys, we've been speaking a lot about being anchored, and I guess you all are going on this journey with us just to make sure that I'm anchored on the right things in life. I'm not anchored in my culture. I'm not anchored in my salary or my bank balance, on the job I do or my family, if you're a well-to-do family. I'm not anchored in the fact that I'm a Stormer supporter, definitely not. But I'm anchored in the things of God, and I'm anchored to the basics of Christ, basics of the gospel. Just a verse quickly I got now in worship time was Galatians 1 verse 9, and it just says, hey guys, be careful if you hear another gospel that is not the gospel that you've been taught. Be careful. And it just, again, along with the refiner's fire and the testing, guys, let's be sharp in this time. Let's be sharp in this age to know what is of the Lord and what not. I really want to encourage you, get into the Word, as Imyan always says. Read your Word. Get into the Gospels to know what it says. Not to have a vague idea. And please, God forbid, not as a religious tick box, but get into the Word. Get into the Gospel so that you can discern the right Gospel when it comes around. Because there's a lot of stuff and a lot of things floating around. But anyway, so we're going to be anchored. And a couple of weeks back, I said it's not only good for me to be anchored in my true identity and sonship, who I am in Christ, but for me to truly walk in love, the love of my neighbor, I need to know who Bernard is in Christ as well. I need to know who Johan is in the Lord as well. He might do something that ticks me off. By the way, he didn't, Johan. And I guess you won't either. But he might do something, because we're human, guess what? And that's what church is about. But one of you, or Edna, or I, might do something that ticks somebody else off and really, which they don't like. And yet the Lord calls us in faith, beats us with meat, in faith to look at one another, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5, 16, 17 says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, obviously. Even though we once were regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Christ rode on a donkey, carpenter's son, from a small town, not the king, not the mighty Roman Empire type-like guy. It was real... just the average Joe. Maybe not even as pretty as the guys that they use for the movies. And yet God used them, as Edna said, those seeds. And we need to regard each other according to the Spirit and not the flesh. So now, and you'll see how beautifully this ties in with the testimony of Karin. Today we're moving on and we're still saying that we need to be anchored, but there's a place that I believe we need to stand still. I was in quiet time the last week or somewhere. Johan actually sent me a brilliant podcast, and I listened to the thing, and something the guy said just opened up something in my heart, something really born in our marriage, born as parents in our hearts, and I want to extend it to you guys, and that's how I believe God has called us into this fast. And also why we need to pray for our children. But we want the next generation to be anchored as well, am I right? Who loves their children? Sam, you adore your children, hey? We do. We love our children. They might not be your natural children. They might be your adopted, your fostered, your spiritual, your grand, or even your adult children. But you still want them to be anchored. Even if your child is 45 or 50, You want your child to be anchored in the truth of the Lord, right? You want your child to be the Jameses to be anchored. And so this is a time in which I just believe we need to hit the pause button and just say, Lord, please speak to us in this regard. It is a massive topic. And I'm probably not going to do it justice because I'm only going to refer to a couple of things, which I believe is primarily important for now. But please, as God lure you into this thing, please open up your ears and say, Lord, speak to me. What do you want to say to me about the next generation? What do you want to say to me about the girls up in Africa? What do you want to say to me about the youth? Or these amazing kids that we have in our church? What do you want to say to us about the children we have in our home? Is anybody kind of excited? Is not the right word. Expectant. Does anybody have faith for this? Amen. Please don't. You don't have to put up your hand. And as I said this morning in intercession, this is not an easy message to preach on because it doesn't come that naturally. I'm not going to tell you if you do these things and if you name it and claim it, you're going to have the BM. No, this is a sacrificial type of message, but I believe it's gospel-like. It's, are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing just to lay yourself down a bit for a change again? Are you willing to lay down your prayer needs and just hit the pause button? Are you willing to be sacrificed? Are you willing to be sacrificed like Christ is sacrificed? Might be 3 days. God might ask much more of you for the next generation. Heather smiles. She knows. God's called her for youth. But it's sacrifice as well. Will Johnson says so beautifully, God can only send his fire on sacrifice. I can say braai, braai, till the kingdom come, but if I don't have wood, nothing's going to braai. If there's not something on the altar, if there's not something laid down, and I'm not talking of self-righteous dead works, Christ has brought forth righteousness. But he's called us to pick up a cross as well and follow him. Yes, he's done all, but he's also called us to imitate and follow him. And to say, yes, I'm willing now and again to wash the feet of another, to lay down my life, to be a bit uncomfortable. Hey, Emmy, is it comfortable to come to church every Sunday at 7 o'clock? It's not that comfortable, eh? But that sacrifice draws a fire of the Lord that you can see in that man's life. And we're thankful for him. Keep on bringing the wood, please. We appreciate you. But the next generation needs that. Your own child might be needing it. You might be doing everything perfect, so this sermon is not for you. I do apologize. But then at least think of the neighbor's kid. Are you willing to be the wood on the fire so that God can speak and that they can have food, the generation to come can have food? Have you ever, as a parent, said, I really need help? Have you ever needed help as a parent? Again, my message is born out of our own need. There's just sometimes a key that you feel you're lacking. We've done the courses, we've read the books, we've obviously read through the Bible, we know the verses, or hopefully we know the verses that is applicable, and we've chatted to the people that have been around the block, and we've chatted to Mac and Odin, people that really speak into our lives that's been in ministry but also has kids. So you do these things and yet you sometimes hit a wall and think, I have no idea how to do this, but I want to get it right. I'm sure nobody would get up and say, I really want to screw up parenting. I honestly want to screw up parenting. That's nobody's heart. Even if you don't know the Lord yet, you want to get it right. The word says, even you who are evil want to give good gifts to your children. How much more would the Father give you the Holy Spirit? So even the evil man wants to give good to his children. How much more, by the grace of God, if we have the Son of God and His Spirit inside of us, would we want to give good things to our children and have them get the Holy Spirit to help them? And then second to that, have you ever been in your life, albeit at the age of 20, 25, 30, up until whatever, being at a stage where you realize something spiritually, something opens up, and you're like, man, if only I knew this 20 years ago. Or man, if I only had been able to make these decisions when I was or 30 years ago. Anybody ever had that moment? I wish somebody talked to me about certain things when I was 10 and 11. I wish somebody had my back on certain other things when I was 16. I wish somebody had fought the spiritual battle for me on certain things when I was 19. And today we're not pointing the finger at another generation. No, not at all. That's not the heart either. But there's punches that all of us have suffered. Blou oë. Groot seer. That we've suffered. And things that have happened in our life, and we wish there was somebody that could have backed you, could have helped you, could have prayed for you, could have given you the wisdom of God, as we heard this morning. Two things that we're going to build this morning on. We're not going to build long. We're going to try not to build long. Two principles when we chat about the next generation, about our kids. Two things. First principle is this, Jeremiah 1 verse 5, you know it. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Now, that last part is obviously not applicable to everybody, but God foreknew everybody in the womb. He's all-knowing. So he's known all of you guys in your mother's womb. Am I right? Okay, so that's the first principle. When you think your own kids, when you think the neighbor's kids, when you think the youth, when you think those that you're spiritually responsible for, if you think as a teacher, those that you teach daily, God knows all of them, and he knew them from the beginning. God knows them. The God whose spirit lives inside of Demi knows the children in front of Demi and the children that Demi will have. That God we're dealing with this morning, and that God only. Principle two that we need to remember, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. There's ever a declaration that you don't haggle with. Unless you're naive, it's the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not for your disaster, to give you a future and a hope. His name, by the way, I think is Jesus to a big degree. But Jeremiah 29:11 is the second principle we're going to remind ourselves of. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So as we approach this message, as we're trying, and as we're seeing how the Lord is building something for us to work with, and telling us what the mandate is, what he wants from us, we remember these two principles. He knows you from the beginning. And secondly, even though we don't want to take anything out of context, but I believe this is true for all believers, he's got plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans of a hope and a future. Now disaster in the Western culture sense of the word, and in God's eyes might be different, so please just buckle up. We were in Malmesbury a couple of years without a salary. I thought that was disastrous. God said, I'm just busy pruning your heart. We lost both our cars or vehicles at the age of 30. I had a DT125 Yamaha, and I thought it was a disaster. God said, I'm building character, telling you, learning, teaching you the truth. So please just be aware that we don't look with our worldview at these things, but with a godly worldview. Again, a gospel worldview. We're speaking about children. We're speaking about the next generation. We're speaking about the battles that we heard about this morning. And we're saying, Lord, can we be sacrificed? Where can we be a link? How can we put up our hand? Because where we've suffered and where we've been hurt, we don't want them to have that as well. And moreover, we don't want them to totally miss your road for them, miss out on their identities. That's what we're chatting about. So there is battles. You can go to the next slide. Thanks, Ryan. There's battles. But just to stir faith, we're going to put some meat on the pizza to know that God is not caught unaware. The first story we're going to look at, we're just quickly going to read through Scripture, just to remind ourselves of two guys. One's name was Moses and the other was Jesus. Let's go to Exodus 11:22. We're just quickly stirring a bit of faith for the kids, for the next generation. Because sometimes you can drive to Canal Walk, you can drive through a certain area, and you can see stuff that can just break you. We try to ignore some of the hurts, but you can see things that are crazy, that no human being should be living in. You can go, you can scroll through Facebook, and some people make it a bit of a soppy story, but if you see the true story, it is ridiculous. there we've just heard, as Tia shared, about these ladies, or young girls in fact, being captured up in Africa. You actually don't want to go there with your mind and heart sometimes. But we come back and we said, God, no. If by your grace, you can lead us by your grace, you want it to be different. Let heaven come. We want heaven to come. But we may need to be partakers. We need to be mediators. We need to be agents. We sometimes need to be sacrificed. Agents of sacrifice will let the kingdom come. Not sitting back, not scrolling, not giving it a like. The like will not let the heaven come. Laying down your life, being the sacrifice, albeit small, albeit massive, will let it come. Go listen to Heidi Baker's life story. Just go listen to it. It's up in Mozambique. Well-to-do American family. She's this loving kid in the dirt. She just hugs them and loves them. But she's seen the blind see the dead raised many a times. She's not there for the miracles either, or to take a selfie with somebody that's just been raised. But she was willing to say, how can I be part of this bigger thing? How can I step into this war for the good? Because I know a God that knows these kids one by one, and I know a God that knows the plans, the godly plans for them. What I now see is not the godly plans. God, may I be the wood. May I be the meat on your altar. As I said, maybe not the easiest of messages, but I believe God will speak to our heart. Let's look at Moses quickly, stirring a bit of faith. Moses 1 verse 22. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. Now, Israelites, the Hebrews at that stage, God's people were really becoming strong. They had God's favor and hand upon them. They became strong and they became a bit of a threat. Thank you, Edna. Not only Mother's Day, but a great dictionary as well. Thank you, I appreciate that. And she spelled so much better than me. Pharaoh wanted to just annihilate God's people, the Hebrews, by throwing the kids in the Nile. Now, this is a very, obviously, a practical picture, but spiritually this happens all over the world. The enemy just comes in as a pharaoh, and he just wants to throw kids into the Nile. Just kill the people of God. But let's move on. Exodus 2 says, Now I'm a man, now a man from the house of Levi went and took his wife, a Levite woman. The woman conceived and born a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, or other translation says that he was beautiful, she hid him 3 months. Now, okay, we're not going to get into that, but I have wondered before, if he was not beautiful, what would have happened? I believe God would have made another plan. But anyway, he was beautiful, so his mother hid him. Anyway, on Mother's Day, that's an interesting story. When she couldn't hide him no longer, she took him and put him in a basket. Moving on. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know that he would, what be done to him. Now, that's just crazy. Who of you guys would just take your kid, put him in a monkey, put him in one of these little baskets, and put him on a river? So she was probably quite desperate. But anyway, so she put him in the river, and then his sister just were behind the bushes, just seeing what would happen. But we know the story. We've seen the beautiful story in the Kinner Bible, and we've heard it so many times. But just imagine yourself in that position. Kids all over being thrown in the Nile and killed. Ironically enough, in the Nile, but she puts it in the Nile, on the water, but in a basket. And it's just beautiful what happens next. You know the story. We're just stirring a bit of faith because God is good. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came to bathe at the river. And while a young woman walked beside the river, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent a servant woman. And she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby was crying. Then the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. So it is not as if the Pharaoh's daughter didn't know what was going on. She knew exactly what was going on. She knew the creed her father had proclaimed and what he what was constituted in their law, but yet she did something else. Well done, Karine, by the way. Then his sister said to the Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse this child for you?" And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." Just look at the favor. Just look at God's hand here. So the girl went and called the child's mother. How beautiful. And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So now, not only did God use the water where the enemy or the Pharaoh wanted to kill the kids, and from the water he took from the enemy's camp, that which is close to the enemy's heart, he used so that his kingdom can come. Talk about favor. Talk about a God that is in control. But I believe that mother had the fear of the Lord. She had the fear of the Lord in her heart. And she had the favor of God in her heart. And so now, here the enemy takes your kid into his camps, gives them a brilliant upbringing, and pays you for it. When you obviously nursed him as a young one. When the child grew older, she brought him to the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became a son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." Something that looked absolutely dismal, something that looks totally crazy, and you're at a loss for words, and you're up against the wall, all the cliches in one, and yet God comes and he uses the enemy to bless you. He uses the enemy to turn things around. He saves that child. Was there a battle, guys? Yes, there was a battle. Was there a plan, however, and a savior? Yes. There was both a plan and a savior. And today, we know that the whole of Israel was saved and led by this man. And today, for us, it's a prophetic picture of what Christ came to do in our lives. Don't have time for that. Second young kid that needed some saving as well. Let's look at Jesus. Matthew 2, 13 to 16. Flight out of Egypt. Now, Jesus was Jesus. Born in a manger. They went out to be counted, and obviously he was born. You know the story. And as they were heading back, the following happened. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Again, the enemy wants to kill the kid. And so the enemy kills the kids. This is not an easy topic maybe, but guys, we need to stare it in the eyes for what it is. And with all, we're not going to give the enemy credit. We're not going to fear today in Jesus' name. But we're not going to be naive either. We're going to trust the Lord to, in love, according to a solid, pure gospel, see the truth of God. And open up our eyes, not to be caught wanting, not to be caught sleeping. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and they remained there until the death of Herod. So until this leader died, they had to stay in Egypt. They had to stay in captivity. They had to stay in hiding. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken to by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious and sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all the region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he has ascertained from the wise men. Now you can go very deep into these things, and today the symbolic things that are happening and babies being killed, unborn being killed. And that's maybe a series for another day. But this modus operandi has unfortunately not changed. But neither has our God. Neither has our God and those parents, those that walk with him in the fear of the Lord, in line with his word and spirit. In that story, you'll see it's not on there, but verse 19, after Herod died and the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, because those who sought this child's life are dead." So he got up, took a child and his mother, and entered into the land of Israel. And so here's two stories, two young children. that we can thank today. If it was not for their heritage, if it was not for their testimony, if it was not for the God work in their lives, we would not have sat here today. If it was not for the victory of God in their lives, we wouldn't have been here today. And so, maybe just in a small moment, we can just see the magnificence of the Lord, but also the sensitivity of the battles around our children. And the importance of the moments God creates. And the importance of the dreams and the moments where the Holy Spirit whispers something into ears to protect the young ones of the Lord. And yes, is it all to do about bearing fruit one day? Yes, if it's a Moses and if it's a Jesus? No. I believe God has a plan for all. He knows all of us from our mother's womb. He's got plans to prosper all of us. Will we all have this massive job or work as Jesus or Moses? I don't think we need to go down that road. It doesn't matter. But God's character stands. And by His grace, He can give that to each and every one. But He needs agents. He needs agents to say, here I am, use me. Christ, here I am, use me. Christ, speak to me. Christ, give me the dream to take him to Egypt. Give me the basket. Christ, come speak to me. Guys, the battle is real around our children. Who's ever noticed that the battle around you, even if you don't have children, you can maybe just think up back in your own life. The battle is real. Spiritual battles are real in our lives. Yes? No? Or do we think that the enemy is a bit of a gentleman, so he'll wait till you're 12? No, he doesn't wait till you're 10 or 12. No, your mother and father is kind of forsaking you. So I'll just step back and wait a bit until you're 11 and can use a bit more of your brain. And then the battle begins. No. The battle, unfortunately, starts even before birth. If you look at the fight in America between pro-life and pro-choice, the battle around children's lives does not only start when they're born. From the moment of conception, there's battle. And we're not going to focus on sin or battles, but we need to sometimes just knock on the door and say, hello, it's Amal Vakker. We don't want Moses to be thrown in the Nile. Neither one do we want Jesus to be killed. Neither do we want it for our children or the children of the school, the children in which God has entrusted us with. God is greater. The next point is just children in war. The battles are real, yes, that we've said to each other, but the victory is real either. But we need to connect the dots. We are the agents too. Christ has done everything. He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. The grave is empty. He's risen. Yes. But the word also says, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge or a lack of vision. If we do not enforce the victory of Christ, not with the flesh, but spiritually, as the word directs us, if we do not enforce the victory, then we're going to be caught napping, and unfortunately then the enemy takes people for a ride, and especially he guns the children. As I said, there's no foreplay and no age restriction to these battles. No fear either. Before we look at these battles in particular, how many times have people sat with us all through the years and then you try to figure out what went wrong? There's a certain fruit in the life. There's certain sin or certain problem, certain bondage. Just destruction in this one life. And you try to figure out where did it all start? And it's hardly ever that the guy said, well, I was 43 and then all of a sudden my friend sent me this horrible email with pictures on it. Or I was 55 sitting at the golf club, just had a wonderful game, and then somebody offered me a spiked drink. That's hardly ever where the problems and issues started. In my own life, I can take you back. Back to moments where my life was shaken. not for the good sense of the word. I was 6 years old. My father took me somewhere. But he thought, he's a kid. I was exposed to something that I shouldn't have been exposed to. That was brilliant. That was really brilliant. Thanks, Albert. But I was exposed to something that I should not have been exposed to, that left a mark for years in my life. That spoke into my identity, that spoke into certain insecurities, that led to further destruction in my life. And that was one of a couple of places. And so people will come and sit and chat to us or chat to you, wherever you love on people, and you realize, man, the enemy doesn't start stealing when you 13 or 33 or 40. It's as soon as you start remembering. And it's very simply that in that moment there was not the necessary cover, the necessary protection that should have been there. God did not say, kry daar vir jou 'n stukkie lewe. Toe. Ek kry jou as jy 20 is. I'll pick you up at 20 and then I'll teach you all about love and all about. No, that's not a God that we serve. He said, there. There's a young one for you guys. The godliness that you know. Take care. Yes, as much as you invite me, as much as you want to partner me, as much as you want to know how to do it, I want to give you everything. But you've got free choice. You can choose how much I can mediate, how much I can help, how much I can teach, how much I can love on you guys to love that little one. But you can decide. Unfortunately, that's where the things sometimes break down. And so we can easily say to each other, guys, how about a Christian generation that is not reactive, but that becomes proactive? So many of us, be honest, get into church and you're like, Retief is, please greet all the new people. Please be friendly. Hey, how about we mingle and invite people for tea and brine? You're like, Retief, I get to church and I just want to survive. You know, I get pounded by the enemy day in and day out. You want me to smile. I actually just want to survive. I want to live. Because the battle is quite fierce. And it's quite real. Now, it's not all doom and gloom. We have our mountaintop moments. But sometimes we get in here and you're like, I just want to spiritually survive. I could not care less about the person next to me. Come on, guys. Be honest. Sometimes we are in that place. Are we not? Are we going to nod and smile? Nee, nee, man. Jou lewe is belangriker as enigiets vir my. Yes, we want to live in that place. We want to live in that place of victory. But sometimes the battle is quite real. So we need to constantly be in the Spirit of the Lord to get to a place where you overflow, as Mariette said, and where you can give. And so much more than for the children. Sometimes you think about, those poor kids. The parents are also two people, for instance, that are so hurt, that was not cared for, was not protected. Nobody stepped in as an agent in their life. There was no godly mediator to bring forth victory in their life. And so you see this ugly snowball. And I'm just saying, Lord, help us to be a bit more proactive. Speak to us about the battle, maybe discern a drill. What is the battles that kids face? Just quickly. Peer pressure. Anything else? Rejection. Anything else? Loneliness. Divorce. What else? What is it? Fear. Yes. Death in the family. Yes. Abusement. Yes. Anything else? What is the stuff the battles kids face? Sorry? Lies. Yes. Confusion. Addiction. Yes. Status. Yes. Wrong element of identity, hey? Feeling to have to perform. In other words, it's just like an orphan spirit that they have to perform, that they don't belong. Stuff I wrote down. The battles that kids face. Who am I? Do I belong? You know, in my life, my mother and father got separated, and so the big thing was just, do I belong and where do I belong? Does someone have my back? Is there actually somebody that has my back? Who's ever had that fear or that confusion in your life? You're just thinking, oh my heck, this is such a crazy battle. Does somebody have my back? Am I loved? Am I safe? Am I pretty? That I didn't put on here, but I just thought of that. Maybe for some of the girls, some of the guys, but yes, am I pretty? What is life? Right, wrong, love, hate. What is all of these things? What are all these concepts? What is it? A moral compass. Did anybody give you a moral compass just to know what is right and wrong? Another battle we fight is direction and calling. It's pity, man. Wat meer wil jy weet? Pity. Dis nie moeilik, dis jou naam. And so, in some Afrikaans households, that's what you got. You got pity. Not you're beloved, not you're a son, not you're accepted, not you are called, not you've been paid for. No, you're pity. That's it. Visser, pity visser, as jy beter voel. And that's sometimes what we got. Sorry, I say this tongue-in-cheek, it's but for the grace of God that he, and a lot of hurt, and then his grace in my life that he's opened up my eyes that I have a hunger for this, so I say his grace only. But I'm like, let's rattle these cultural boxes, saying, God, wake us up, please. How many more lives need to go to waste, Lord? How many times do we have to pick up the pieces? Come on, Lord. Direction and calling. What is the spirit and what is the flesh? What is a worldview and what is culture? A sense of self-worth. Love for God and His way. So all of these things are just a key, and I bet there's a lot other. But these are these key battles that kids face. What is intimacy? What is love? What is sex? Imagine somebody had actually told me the truth. I wouldn't have wasted 20 odd years and a lot of hurt. A lot of hurt. If somebody could have just told me about the spiritual battle and give me wisdom on that. And I'm not knocking any parent of any prior generation. You get it by grace. But because somebody else makes a mistake, doesn't call us to have to do it ourselves. Amen? Amen. And so they face these battles, these questions we've just touched on. And who gives them these answers? There's two places where the answers can come from. Nothing else. It can either come from God or it can come from the devil. There you can believe the cartoons. There's a little angel on this shoulder and a little devil. Now we know we mock it and we laugh for it and it's funny if you watch the cartoons, but it's actually quite true. They're either going to be fed the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil by the enemy about all of those questions and more, or they're going to be fed the truth of the tree of life being Christ today for us, His Spirit and His Word. Either one or the other. There is no gray areas. There's not God, the enemy, God, the enemy, and pity support. No. There's only God or the enemy. And whatever we feed on as parents, whatever we feed on as guardians, is what we're going to impart. So my question is, hey guys, what fruit are we feeding the next generation? What is the fruit that we are feeding the next generation? And in fasting and in seeking God is not saying, oh Lord, we've missed it. No, we've not missed it. It's not about hitting and missing. It's just saying, Lord, calibrate us. Tune us in. Joseph got a dream. That's quite fortunate. But he had to know that it's not, oh, well, that's kind of, he had to had a bit of a reference to know that, gits, die Here het gepraat. And had to go and do this. And it's just to calibrate, just to tune us in, to say, phew, I can hear the soft, small voice saying, Retief, don't be too harsh on Frida. She needs wings. She's been called, her new name is Peaceful Ruler. Now, if you're a ruler, you're probably quite strong. And yes, she'll do it, eventually she'll do it peaceful, but at this stage, it's quite interesting in our home. And now I can either push my flesh or I can push things and actually take of the fruit of knowledge and the tree of knowledge of good and evil and just push things, or I can go quiet down myself and I say, God, please speak to me. You know, it says in Afrikaans, buig 'n boompie terwyl hy jonk is. What is it in English? Can you directly translate that or not? Bend a tree while it's still young. Do you guys use that? Do we use that as English-speaking people? But it's as if the Christians only wake up to this thing a bit later than the enemy sometimes. And I'm not giving him credit. But I'm just trusting that God will speak to our hearts. What are we feeding them? What are we feeding them? Are we feeding them from here? Not religion. Not religion, guys. Because they're not going to follow what you say, they're going to follow what you do. Am I living the fruit of the tree of life? Am I living the fruit of Christ? Because that is what my kids will eat. They're not going to eat what I say only, but moreover, they're going to eat what I live. The real battle, we've got 5 minutes. The real battle begins primarily in the spirit. And even if that's the only, that's one, I believe, one theme, one part of a much bigger theme. But guys, the battle begins in the spirit. Albeit discipline, albeit what they eat, albeit the way in which you communicate and how you love, how you tend for, how you provide for them, the battle begins in the spirit. Because the one who made them God is spirit. I'm not a soul, I'm not my flesh, I'm not my beard. I'm a spirit. I have a soul and I live in a body. Let's go to Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God granted me the grace sometimes that before the kids get sick, I see a specific vision 2 days prior in my quiet time. And I've learned now, if I pray against that specific demonic force, then either it's little sniffles and it's gone. And when I kind of ignore it and don't take it seriously, 2 days later the kids are sick. Now you can tell me, oh, well, this and that and the other. But I've seen it many a time. So God, through His Spirit, will warn me and I can warfare against that. And this is only one area of their life. There's many others where God just so clearly can speak. Pietri and Karin, they wanted to go away a couple of weeks back. We shared the testimony and God just did not give them peace. They thought they had to be in church. But the Thursday evening, Elaine got sick and she had to go to the hospital. Now in that case, God prepared their heart in another way to care for her, because if they were out in Langebaan, it would have been much tougher to provide for her and to care for her. But it's just to be attentive. Amplified says the following about that scripture: for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. Hear my heart. Guys, when we pray for, stand in the gap, when we think about, when we walk up the road for our children, our opponent is firstly not our children. Sometimes it is just bad manners or they need to learn. Please, not everything. We shouldn't over-spiritualize everything, but we start in the spirit. We start with God. He is spirit. We ask Him. He made them. We ask Him. He's got the blueprint. We start with Him. We seek Him first. I'm not against plasters or panados or school or anything that we use. Please, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. But let's be wise. Start in the spirit. So we're contending not with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly or supernatural places. And so we need to realize that our kids are born into battle. They're born into a spiritual battle. So we might give them a roof, we might give them food, we might give them advice or a couple of good ideas, but we need to remember there's a bigger battle. And we need to be awake to that. When we were living in Malmesbury, I just thought that so many guys, they do brilliantly. And guys, it's good, obviously, to provide for your family. Please don't stop. But some people have these amazing estates and they leave this perfect will and testament with a farm, any bakkie, any boot, and the place at Hartenbos, Hermanus. And they leave all these things. They leave this beautiful estate. But I'm not so sure what their children are inheriting in the spirit. What are your children inheriting in the spirit? They're going to get it from God the Father first. And they get it through Christ. But you do have an impartation. You've got a couple of years where you can give them their inheritance, their spiritual inheritance, or at least where you help facilitate and take hands with the Lord to give them a solid spiritual foundation. I'm not knocking. Please, if you are able to, by all means, please do bless them with what you can. But please, let's have our focus right. Which is more important? The eternal, or the here and the now? And that gets us to the mediator, and I'm going to try to finish with that. The mediator is not firstly us, the mediator is Christ Jesus. But as parents, as guardians, we partner with him. We need to partner with the mediator. To say, firstly, this young one needs to reconnect with God through Christ Jesus. Yes, that's done and dusted. Christ has given this young one victory in life. But they need to know what it is. And somebody needs to help them until the day that they can stand and they can walk and they can pray and they can proclaim, they can take up their authority. Who else is going to do that? Again, the enemy is not going to wait until your child takes up spiritual authority. You take spiritual authority. The enemy doesn't wait until your kid becomes a king. You need to take up kingship. The enemy doesn't wait until your kid stands up and prophesies over their own future. You prophesy. You be the prophet. Who's the king, priest, and prophet firstly? If you say the husband, I'll say amen. But it's not the husband firstly. Edna didn't say that. It's Jesus. God sent Jesus for the offices of king, priest, and prophet. So if I want to know anything to help my son or my daughter, to help you guys, help the youth, what do? I say, Jesus, please. We turn to the real gospel. We turn to Christ. We say, Christ, you are the king. You are the priest. You are the prophet. What does the king do? They proclaim. They proclaim. They rule and they reign. What does the priest do? They intercede. They step in the gap. They stand in the gap. What does the prophet do? Call that which is not as if it is. Call the things of the future in. See the future. Who would like that for their kids? Somebody ruling and reigning. Somebody standing in the gap until salvation comes. And somebody that prophesies truth and prophesies God's will over your life. We all want that. But the mediator wants us to mediate with him. He said in Matthew 19:14, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. Now you can take that scripture much deeper, I believe. We can just be oblivious and like just naive, trying to get along, thinking about this thing or doing that thing or going on this break there or building on that thing there. And we miss what Jesus said. He said, do not hinder them. They need to come to me. Do not hinder them. You as parents, you as guardians, do not hinder them. And we can ask him as king, priest, and prophet. Now just lastly, why do we fast? Fasting and praying. Why do we do this? Is it so that we can bend his arm? Is it so that we can just put in a bit of elbow grease and just to give a bit of effort from our side? Now, I believe it's none of the above. It's merely saying to our flesh, you quiet down so that our spirit can hear. It is like hitting the pause button. For whose life a bit frantic at the moment? Oh, only 5 of you guys. Okay, the rest of us will be fasting. Great stuff. No, but life space is quite hectic. And so what we do in a fast is just saying, I say no to the things that my flesh grabs hold of most of the time. I just hit the pause button, not in self-righteousness, not in dead works, and I just say, Lord, I want my spirit to thrive. I want the Holy Spirit to help my spirit to hear from you. And so when you fast your kids, you're just actually tuning yourself in, saying, Lord, I consecrate this time. You don't, I've not had food for 3 days type of thing. No, you actually use this to have an opportunity to say, Lord, let's chat again. Let's commune again, please. You know my child. You've made my child. You know the plans. You want to prosper. And then even better, Jesus, you are the mediator. You are king, prophet, and priest, and you want to be it over my house and over me. I just want to commune with you. What is there? Is there a key for discipline in their lives? Is there somewhere where I'm missing maybe in intercession and praying for them? Is there something you want to prophesy in this season, a seed that you want to sow for them to be a prophet to the nations in 30 years? I want to hear that. Is there an angel that wants to speak to me and say, put them in hiding because the enemy is trying his luck? Are we hearing one another, guys? And if you don't have kids, maybe he stirs a compassion for somebody else's kid. So we quiet down ourselves. You can go look in Acts, New Testament, where they still fast. It's not an Old Testament thing. It is a New Testament thing, and it's a part of spiritual discipleship, disciplines and discipleship. Second thing is, by way of hearing, we can, through prayer, implement the victory. Sorry I'm taking two or three minutes of your time, but I just want to finish this off because I believe it's very important for us. By hearing from God again, not thinking, not seeing the fruit in my kids' lives, no, that's naughty, and no, this is that. That moment Karine had, all the people were regarding this young lady through the flesh. They were seeing this fruit, and she's naughty, and saying she's naughty. God says, no, wake up. See her, regard her through the Spirit. See what is actually happening here. Here's bondage. Here's attack. The enemy is trying to kill, steal, and destroy, and you're thinking this kid needs a hiding. Kids sometimes do need a hiding. But you're missing the point. You're not seeing through the eyes of the Spirit yet. That's what we'll be doing. We'll be in fasting and praying. You're just saying, Lord, help me to see, discern my own children through your eyes again, to see in the Spirit, not the flesh, so that your kingdom can come here on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, this is Jesus at word, it is written, man shall not live of bread alone, but from every word that proceeds or proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Who of you wants to hear God's voice? Okay. Amen. We want to. Amen. How much more if we can put a little bit of time aside? If weekly, even monthly, yearly, more often, daily, if we can put on a bit of time aside, so as we can say that our children shall not live of bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from God's mouth. If we can say, Lord, however we can pray, and this might fan out differently for all of us, but I can just quickly step in and say, Lord, I want to stand in the gap so that freely I can hear your voice. That you will never have a relationship through Retief, through the way I do things with you, but that you will know you. That you will hear your voice, that you'll have bread to eat. God, I might leave her with X, Y, and Z in this life. But Lord, how much more do I want her to have bread in the Spirit? The words of God's mouth. The stuff that changes us. And so, you're more than welcome to partner with us Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in whichever way the Lord leads you. So we can just ask Him. He might, in some of us, some of our lives, we might speak into the area of discipline, other in the areas of identity, other in the area of family. Who knows what the Lord will say, but please partner with me in just hitting the pause button, saying, Lord, speak to me about my kids or the ones that you put on my heart. Because I don't want them to, in the years to come, to have to be without bread, without cover, left to their own devices in the battle. All right. Demi will probably not have time for that song now. Apologies. I'm just going to pray for us. Will you stand with me, please? Christ, thank you that you said, man shall not live off bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And firstly, we want to pray this, Lord. We want to pray for our children for bread. Thank you, Lord. We cannot give them this bread. Only you, the one that made them, can give them this bread. Lord, it might be in this season that they need the bread. It might be in the next. It might be both. Or one day, Lord. But we just come and we just ask that you will give bread to the children. You'll give bread to the next generation. And then, Lord, that you'll give them the ability and for us to partner with you to be able to see the things spiritually that they need to see. Not too early, but definitely not too late. And then, Father God, we pray for us as parents, for us as guardians, for us as those in the responsible positions. Lord, open up our eyes so that we can see the battles that they face. Open up our eyes and help us to see the battles that they face or going to face. Because I declare over us and our children in this church community, that no weapon of the enemy will prosper and no curse will fall where there's a shout of a king. And your people in this place, by the grace of God, will not perish because of a lack of knowledge or vision. Holy Spirit, the Helper, will you come afresh and anoint us to prepare a next generation, to speak into the lives of the next generation, to with Christ to rule, to with Christ to step in and intercede, and to with Christ to prophesy. To prophesy. Even the unborn, the unconceived, and the unborn. Thank you that in faith we can prophesy, pray, and speak over their lives as well. Lord, we give Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to you. In fact, we give our whole lives to you, but specifically this time, Lord. Through your Spirit, just bring us into a place and whisper your truth into our ears. And set them up, Lord. Protect them and lead them. And for us as well, because we need it in Jesus' name. God's people said, Amen. Guys, I apologize for the extra 10 minutes. I know it's Mother's Day. But hey, it was for your kids. So it's a good thing. Mothers understand. Enjoy the rest of the day.